See these little ones. Well, what I'd like to do today is I'd like to just share with you, we don't have a lot of time, but I'd like to share with you for the next couple of minutes from the book of Psalms and Psalm 139. It's a great psalm, and I'd like for you just to look at the psalm with me. It's a psalm written by David, King David, as he provided for us this understanding of who God is. Listen to what he says, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go? Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. For indeed, darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also. There we go. Okay, sorry. How precious are you, are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Then I'm going to skip down to the last verse. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a great passage. It's a great passage when you have problems. Because problems take place in our life. Maybe some of you hadn't had problems yet, but I doubt that's true. I think everybody in this room has problems, right? You've had problems. Like Johnny, who lives at home, but all he hears is the yelling and screaming of his mom and dad. And he doesn't know whether they're going to stay together, because he's got a lot of friends whose parents aren't. And it terrifies him to hear it. Major problem. Or Jill, who's at work, and she's been thrust into a new job, and nobody's told her what to do. And she feels extremely vulnerable, and she feels very, very fearful, because she's got to have this job. She's a single mom, and she's out of work. It's going to be bad news for the three kids. And some guys know what this feels like. Where you're just so frustrated. You're just burning. You know, it's just blown up. It's just terrible problems. They come into our lives. Sam can't figure out what to do because he's never chosen to be on any team. He's last all the time. And it makes him feel terrible about himself. He hates himself. Rod, to understand his dad, His dad's never around. When he tries to talk with him, his dad brushes him off. And the only talking he gets with his dad is when his dad's hollering and screaming at him for what he's done wrong. He started cutting himself. And Tony, he doesn't understand women. He's finding out that's not unique among males. And he just can't get what this girl is doing, and she's jilting him and is hurting who he thinks he really is. Sandy was always talked about because she was so petite and so special, and everybody loved her, and she was pretty, and it's just great. And all of a sudden, she reaches puberty, and her body's changing, and her life's changing, and she doesn't know what's taking place. I mean, she understands it physiologically, but emotionally, it's really scaring her. And she's getting these zits, and the kid that used to be thought of as pretty, she sees herself as ugly. And her image, it's just shot. And Emily, she made straight A's in high school, all the way through. She applied to get in the top schools, and they all rejected her. She went to the state college. I mean, it wasn't that great, but she figured, I'm going to be the smartest person in this entire facility. And she walked in. And within the second week, she's already had her first F in her life. And she found out she wasn't the smartest person in the facility. And her life began to crumble and crash, and it was terrible. She dropped out. A lot of people feel that nobody cares. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. Nobody likes them. They feel worthless. They don't want to go on. Did you read this week about a story about a 6-year-old girl? This little girl was at home when she was found. She was hanging in her bedroom with her jump rope. The notes that were left written in purple magic marker were, I'm sorry. I'm sad for what I do. And she's 6 years old. People have problems, and they have problems with who they are, what they think other people think about them, what they think about themselves. Bless her heart. But God is holy. Remember that word means God is different. He's not like anybody else. Let me show you some things about God. There's this great passage that starts off where David says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. That word searched in the Hebrew, it means to dig. It means to go in deep, to pierce in and see what's there. And God's done that. And He knows that about each one of us. He knows my movements. David writes and says, He knows my sitting down and my rising up. Hey, the Scripture says that the Lord, you remember Jesus was talking and He said, the Lord knows every time that a sparrow does what? Falls. But the word in the Greek is lights. To befall means he just, got knocked out of the sky. To light means he's hitting the twig, he hits the ground, he hits this, he hits all this. That's what God knows. God knows every time you've moved. He knows everything about you. He's got that fully taken care of. He knows you're sitting down. He knows you're rising up. He knows not only your movements, He knows your motives. See, a lot of people don't know your motives. They don't know what the purpose is behind what you're doing. But God does. David writes and says, you understand my thoughts afar off. He understands what we're thinking. I wish my mom and dad understood what I was thinking. My mannerisms. He knows those. He knows the patterns of my life. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and you're acquainted with my ways. He knows all the ways that I've established and knows what those are. All the patterns He knows in my life. He knows the talking of my life. David says, there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows every word. I've forgotten a lot of words I've said. Maybe you have too, huh? But the Lord knows every single one of them. In fact, we're told one day that for all the idle words, we're going to have to stand and give account of them. You know, say, what did you say this for? You know, we have Blu-rays. I don't know what they've got up there, but it records all the stuff that happens. And they have, it's not for our punishment. It's for our reward. He wants to bless us, and so He's recorded all that. But along with that comes all the other stuff, so we got to watch how we speak. And He also protects us. David says, you hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. I laid your hand upon me and grabbed me and pulled me out of stuff. Because He does that. God protects us and provides us with that. He's unique. And David's response is, such knowledge just blows me away. That's what he's meaning. It's just too wonderful. I can't handle it. It's too great. Now, how do you think about that knowledge? How would you feel if you understood really that God was watching you 24/7? How would you feel if mom and dad was watching you 24/7? How would you feel if boss was watching you 24/7? How would you feel if somebody was watching you 24/7 and knew everything you were thinking? You're either going to find a lot of comfort in that, or you're going to go, this is really good. Or that could be something that's kind of discomforting if you're trying to hide stuff from God. But you can't hide anything from God. He knows everything about you. He knows all the things. And that's what David's saying. You've searched me and known me. But not only has he done that, because he sees these things. He sees all our actions, our words, our motives, our locations. Wherever we are, he knows all that. But there's nowhere we can go to get away from God. He's always around. We can't sleep. We can't get anywhere away from God. He's always there. We're always in His presence. Death can't keep us from Him. Because if we ascend up into heaven, guess what? He's there. When my dad died this past year, you know what happened? He breathed his last here, and he breathed brand new air again in heaven. And that was great. He was in heaven, right with the Lord. People, though, who don't know the Lord, they can't get away from Him by killing themselves they can't get away from God. Because even in hell, God would make His presence known. Now, they don't have the joy in the walk with Him. He doesn't bless them down there, but they are not away from understanding that God exists. God's all over. And even there, David says, you're there. And he says, if I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, doesn't matter how far you go away, death can't do it, distance can't do it, God is right there with you. Darkness can't hide Him. This is a great verse to share with children when they're little, when they're scared. Because for God, the night's just like the day. He sees real well. He doesn't need night vision goggles. He can just see all the time. He sees everything. Sees way into us and sees everything that's there. God's always present with me. And He's going to always be that way. Be it forever. So here's God. He first of all knows everything about me. Second of all, He's always with me. And the third thing is this. He made me. It's one of the great works of God. One of the great things that God did was He made us as human beings. This is this great passage where it says, He formed me in my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. I'll praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. You know what this is? It's a double helix. It's it's what you are in your cells. It's where your DNA and RNA are contained. It's where you, the pattern of who you are, is. When science got there and started unraveling it and found out how much information's in it, a man named Anthony Flew, who for all of his life was an atheist and wrote books. In fact, it's the college textbook that's out, still used today, about atheism was written by this man named Anthony Flew. When the science decoded this and they saw how much information was contained in there, you know what Anthony Flew said? There's got to be a God. In fact, if you get the newest edition of his textbook, he wrote the preface of it. And the preface says, I always said, if I could find proof, I would believe it was God. And guess what? He found proof. And he writes that in the text. Isn't that neat? But God was the one who designed all this. going to be amazing. The more and more we find out about that, the more and more we find out about how all this takes place, it's just amazing that it could happen. But God in His wisdom designed it out and it went there. And then He says these interesting words. Listen to this. Your eyes saw My substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they were written, the days fashioned for Me, when yet there were none of them. See, God's got a book. In that book, He's got your name. He's got everybody's name. Has ever been alive. And as you live, you know what He does? He writes down the stuff that happened. Or I don't know if again, He writes or types or what. How, they have a way they put it down. He's using language that they would have understood in their day and our day. He writes down what takes place. He's got a diary on us. Isn't that neat? And He knows everything that's there. And you know what? There's a passage in the book of Revelation. This is in the last book of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 19, listen to what the passage says, because it talks about this book. Revelation chapter 19, and it's verse 12. This is what the Scripture says. Well, I put the wrong verse. Let's try. It's chapter 20 and verse 12. It says the great white throne judgment where God's judging people. And it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books," this is plural, "were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works and by the things that were written in the books." And so you have this book, book of life. And everybody has things written that you've done. God's got them all there. And one day, the people who don't walk with Jesus, God's going to judge them out of these books. Because there'll be different degrees of punishment that goes for them. But there's another book. And the book is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And everybody has their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Guess what? We get to go with the Lord into heaven. And all the things that we did, they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? He's got all those things in His book. Now, the neat thing about God is He knows everything about you and He still loves you. He thinks you're the greatest. I mean, David writes this way. This is how he puts it. "How precious are Your thoughts to Me, Lord, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, it'd be more than the number of the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with You." So, God knows who you are. God knows what you are. God knows where you are at any point in juncture, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And even knowing all that, He loves you. I'm afraid if you knew everything about me, you wouldn't want to hang out with me. But God does, because He loves me. That's amazing. And David's response to this is he says, "Lord, would You search me and know my heart? And try me and know the things that get me upset." Because that's what the anxieties are. Things that get me upset. "And see if there's any wicked way in me." The word wicked there means a way that's going to hurt me. "And lead me in the way everlasting." That's David's response. That's what he wants God to do. You see, God cares. And some people say, "Well, nobody understands." You know who understands? Better than you understand? God does. "Nobody likes me." You know who likes you? God does. I mean, do you understand? The One who spoke and the worlds came into existence. That's a lot of power. It's a lot of strength. The One who has lived forever. That's a long, long time. He loves you. He thinks you're special. And He loves you. If you think you're worthless, well, He sent Jesus to die for you. You're not worthless. You're very valuable to Him. You don't want to go on? Well, maybe not under your own strength. But you need to link up with Him. Because if you link up with Him, He'll carry you through the problems and help you as you go through them. Because there's nobody like Him. And He loves you. Well, bow your hearts with me. Because our time has been exhausted for the day. And let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that when we feel down, that when we've had a lot of problems hit us, when we feel like nobody cares and nobody understands, when we feel like we're terrible, when we're really upset, we thank you that you've told us that you consistently love us and care for us and want us to come and develop closeness with you. Thank you that even when we're not faithful, you're faithful to us. And thank you that you love us. Would you help everybody who can hear my voice to understand your deep love for them so that none of them will feel like they're alone, so that none of them will feel scared of life, so that none of them will care what other people say or do, only what you say and do. Thank you, Lord, for helping them out of the pit and letting them know your goodness. We love you and we praise you, Lord, that you're our holy God. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Amen. Well, as you see the verse this week, you might pray for some moms who are pregnant or thinking about having an abortion and ask God to work in their heart because they can be changed. And so that's all we can do is pray. It's legal in our country. That means it can happen. So we can't stop it, but we can see that. You know what happened in our congregation? Some of you will remember it. It was probably now close to about 20 years ago. One of our ladies, young ladies in our congregation got pregnant. She was like 17 or 18. Erica was her name. And Erica got pregnant. And when she got pregnant, then our congregation had an option. You could be upset with her, mad at her, or you could embrace her. And our congregation embraced her. And she came and she said, "I messed up." And so she's pregnant. But she didn't mess up a second time. She didn't mess up and have an abortion. That was an option for her at the time. And she, because it was in our country. And she chose to have the baby. And so our congregation gathered around her and we prayed for her. We were over at the Greensboro College at the time. We prayed for her. We laid hands on her. We blessed her. We gave her some things for the baby. But she was so young, she felt like she couldn't take care of the baby. It would be bad for the baby and bad for her because she wasn't finished with high school yet. And so she went in and had the baby. And then we were praying and the Lord linked us up with a family that was down in Florida. And the family down in Florida were not able to have any kids. And so the family down in Florida came up and they took Ellie. And they took Ellie into their family. And Ellie now is graduating or is in college and she's doing really well. But she would have been a girl who God had a tremendous amount of potential for. Because see, when we're framed by God, we have a marvelous potential. Satan wants to keep us from ever reaching that potential. And he'll use any weapon in his arsenal to do it. We were talking today about your self-image, how you feel about yourself. God, Satan wants to destroy you. God wants to bless you because you have marvelous potential. And he wants to use you. And it's never too late to start to be fully used of your potential. Most people never get there. But we can always walk in our potential if we come before him and say, "Lord, I really want to do all you want me to do. By your grace, help me." And God will work. Well, thank you so much. Glad that you've been here today. It's good to see you. I appreciate you all coming. You have a good week as you walk with Jesus. We're dispersed.